Welcome, everybody. Welcome to tonight's call. Exciting updates behind the Monumental Energy Innovation and Carbon Dividend Act. So tonight we're joined by Mark Reynolds, Citizens Climate Lobby's Executive Director, Madeline Pera, who's CCL's Vice President of Programs, and Dr. Danny Richter, who's CCL's Vice President of Government Affairs. And without any further ado, I'm going to pass it right over to you, Mark.
Great. Thank you, Ricky. And thank you all for being on at such late notice. We would have obviously loved to have given you more notice, but things just don't work that way. We find these things out when we find them out. And we were almost at the time where we couldn't do today when we were here. Oh, no, somebody's on the way to the floor with the bill. It was like a pretty crazy day. Anyway, so today in the Senate, the Energy Innovation and Carbon Dividend was introduced. This is the first bipartisan climate bill in the Senate in almost a decade. So last month, we had the first bipartisan bill in the House for the first time in almost a decade, and now the same thing in the Senate. It was introduced by Senator Coons from Delaware and Senator Flake of Arizona. So, you know, some people will be critical, oh, it's the lame duck and Flake's not coming back. And so they'll try and minimize it. But people have always tried to find different ways of poo-pooing everything we do. So it's just fine. That's just part of the process. And personally, I couldn't be more pleased than have Senator Flake on. If you remember, Senator Flake was an original co-sponsor when he was in the House of the Raise Wages, Lower Carbon Act with Bob Inglis in 2009. So he has a long history of working on this, and he's been always one of the most decent, good people to work with. His staff has always been great to work with. So I like that he gets to leave a legacy moment, that the last thing he'll be doing is introducing the most aggressive, the most comprehensive bill ever introduced in the Senate. So what's going to happen in just a moment is Dr. Richter will go through what's in the bill, what looks the same as the House and what doesn't. Madeline go over what there is for us to do, and then we'll wrap it up and get into action, do the things that we all do at CCL. And just as a reminder, please use this as an excuse to reach out to people again. Our year in appeal is going amazing. But please use that now something is in the House, is in the Senate, is to reach out to people that you have reached out to and haven't reached out to invite them to be part of our year in appeal. All right, Dr. Richter, the floor is yours.
Thanks, everybody, for being on here again on such notice. Fact is, in a bipartisan Congress, you need a bipartisan solution, and a bicameral, that is both the House and the Senate solution. And now we have that. So this is great. Now, is this bill different? Yes, but it's not much different. So this Senate bill that was just introduced a couple of hours ago does have really only one change, and that is in Section 8 of the text. Those of you, and I know there are many on the call who did, who read the House bill, H.R. 7173, you may remember that Section 8 pertains to regulations. And in this bill, that part is different. They took out about three pages and replaced it with about three paragraphs. And what those three paragraphs say is that after 6 years, the administrator of the EPA is instructed to review regulations imposed on covered fuels and covered emissions for their greenhouse gas effects and only for their greenhouse gas effects. So what that means is that there is no regulatory pause in this bill. There is just an instruction for the administrator of the EPA to review existing regulations 6 years from now. And if they're reviewing them, the implication is that the administrator may decide to remove them at that time. So no regulatory rollback with this one. CCL feels great about this. We feel great about the other one. We're going to continue to be absolutely enthusiastic about both of them. This one is closer to what we always wanted, but we still feel very comfortable with HR 7173, and we are going full speed ahead supporting both of them. And now I want to talk about our messaging. Our messaging for this bill is going to be the same as it was for EICDA in the House version. The title is the same. This both are the Energy Innovation and Carbon Dividend Act, even though there is that significant difference in Section 8. And our messaging is that this is effective, that this is good for people, this is good for the economy, and this is bipartisan. So when we're talking to supporters, people who are not in CCL, to in our letters to the editor and our op-eds, these are the points that we want to keep on coming back to, that this is an effective piece of the legislation. This is a legislation that is good for people, it's good for the economy, and it is bipartisan. So those are the things we want to keep on hitting on. And the next thing I want to cover is I want to cover our plan for the reintroduction of both the House bill and the reintroduction of this Senate bill, which was just introduced, which, because it was just introduced a couple hours ago, does not yet have a bill number. So for the House bill, we know that the Deutsch office would like to reintroduce this just as soon as possible in January. It is my estimate that February is probably a bit more realistic, but nonetheless, the Deutsch office would like to reintroduce in January. We have already, it's worth pointing out, it's only been 3 weeks since the House version of the Energy Innovation and Carbon Dividend Act was introduced. And in those 3 weeks, we have submitted recommendations to the Deutsch office for updates for their consideration. It will ultimately be up to the Deutsch office to incorporate these. But those include updating the years so that they reflect the new year, a clarified table for the environmental integrity mechanism in section 9903, and indexing the price and the rate of increase to inflation. It was not indexed to inflation in the first version. We would love to have it indexed to inflation when it's reintroduced. And we know that we want more Republicans on. We also want more Democrats on in the House bill. And we have been adding more Democrats on. That first one of those early slides you saw, the members who are on there now. We now have a Democrat on as a co-sponsor of the Energy Innovation and Carbon Dividend Act from every committee of jurisdiction. So that is Foreign Affairs, Ways and Means, and Energy and Commerce. So that's looking really good. Now, for the Senate bill, the plan is also to reintroduce. But as Mark pointed out, Senator Flake is retiring. Depending on when they get the spending bill passed, tomorrow may be his last day. And so we will need to find a new Republican co-sponsor. So the timing will be uncertain. But I am very happy to tell you that we have, Senator Coons has already had a number of discussions with Republican offices, Republicans who are going to be in Congress, next Congress. And ultimately, you know, we tried really hard to get them on board with this, but there just wasn't enough time for them to consider it and make the determination. So we do have some, I am optimistic that we will be able to get reintroduction with Senator Coons and a Republican in the new Congress. And my target, my goal, and I consider this a reach, would be to have that introduced before our June conference so you all can come and make that the biggest conference ever. And you can lobby on both a bipartisan House bill and a bipartisan Senate bill and get those suckers passed. We are still really glad, as Mark said, that it is introduced because now we have a template to work on. And we also have, in Senator Coons, we have someone who has been called the most bipartisan Democrat in the Senate. And so actually the way that this happened was the House version shook things up a bit. A week after, we found out that that the Coons office had been approached by Senator Flake about introducing something along these lines. And so we had already been in touch with the Coons office. We had already decided to work with them closely on this because we knew they had that reputation for being bipartisan. And I think the fact that Flake came to Coons, who we were already working with, is a big validation of the wisdom of that selection. And that's why we were able to help them both out with this introduction. So that's the story for reintroduction in the Senate. Now, for media, well, now we could we can continue to make some noise. Madeline is going to talk about the challenge she issued in terms of letters to the editor. So I'll let her do that. But I'll talk about looking forward into the next Congress. With reintroduction, we are going to have two reintroduction dates to make a big splash about, the House one and the Senate one. And there's also, I think, a possibility of studies from outside organizations, not from CCL, who might be interested in studying this. Because the fact of the matter is that this rate of increase is something that economists thought would not be possible. And that these goals, these targets, are more aggressive than they thought there was an appetite for in Congress. And now, of course, you have shown them that there is indeed an appetite, and there's an appetite on both sides of the aisle in both chambers. So this is those will be other opportunities to make a big splash. And the last thing I want to comment on before I hand it over to Madeline is CCL's place in the landscape. So CCL has been able to deliver big in a way that no group ever has. Not with the kind of organization that gets you a bicameral introduction in both the House and the Senate within 3 weeks. Not with this kind of bipartisan support for that bicameral introduction to be bipartisan, and not with this kind of ambition, a 90% reduction below 2015 levels by 2050. This breakthrough at a time when bipartisan cooperation on this issue at this level of ambition was thought impossible. Let me just remind you all that CCL eats impossible for breakfast.
Well, it is so fun to be with you tonight, with the pleasure of having a Senate bill introduced this quickly. I mean, what an invigorating and unexpected way to end the year. So what we want you to do for the rest of this year is just what you've been doing. So first of all, if your senator is one of the sponsors, so that's those of you who live in Arizona and Delaware, please go all out to get everybody that you know in your state to thank them. If you live elsewhere, you can tweet your thanks, but otherwise, please leave the thank yous to constituents, because that works better. But everybody can write to their member of Congress, and we encourage you to do that, and tell them that now we have a Senate companion bill to the Energy Information and Carbon Dividend Act in the House, and that you're counting on them to continue this momentum in the new Congress by supporting it and supporting their reintroduction. Please also keep writing those letters to the editor. You know, Christmas, New Year's, the winter solstice, they all offer hooks for letters to the editor on climate. If you use your creativity, you know, I saw one just today that linked the bill to reusing the pages of the newspaper as gift wrapping for Christmas presents. That sounds strange, but it worked and it got published. And I call that creativity. So we're well on our way to meeting my challenge of publishing the most letters ever in 1 month. But please help us blow past it. I was hoping for at least 421. But now I'm hoping for at least 500. Remember, it doesn't get counted if it isn't reported on our field report form. So after you submit a letter, watch the paper to see if it gets published. And then when you see it, make sure that your chapter field reporter or your group leader knows and files the report. And if you don't have a group and you've written, which is just fine, then you can email your success to fieldreports@citizensclimate.org. And then finally, what you can do is help build our organization, because we're entering a new phase in our work. And in 2019, we're going to need more engaged volunteers and more money than ever before so that we can take advantage of every single opening that we get to move this legislation forward. So many of us are going to be at holiday parties and visiting with relatives over the next 2 weeks. So I suggest you keep some information session flyers handy or business cards with you all the time so that you can give them to anybody who might be interested in supporting our work. And then, of course, when people around you start talking about how awful our politics are, now you have something hopeful to tell them. So you can ask people to help by joining us, or by donating, or by both. You know, as Mark said, donations are still being matched by our climate guardians in our year-end appeal. Okay, and then lastly, I wanna highlight a few new resources that staff has prepared for you. And those are located on the bill page on community. So there is a 4-page section-by-section analysis of the bill text for those of you who don't want to read the full 48 pages of the actual legislation. There it is on the screen now. And there's also a 4-page document called Responding to Public Questions, and that puts in one place our best answers to the questions that you're hearing the most often as you talk about the bill, including questions about the Green New Deal. We'll continue to update that as new questions or issues arise also. Right. And then please keep using the Q&A forum on Community as the place to ask questions and make suggestions. So staff is continuing to monitor that and to respond to it daily during business hours, although please don't look for the answers on Christmas. But it's also a great place to look for answers and see what your fellow volunteers are asking or saying. As I said to our state coordinators last week, the response of you, our volunteers, to the news of the bill getting introduced in the House just 3 weeks ago, it's been everything I ever dreamed of. It's amazing to see what a little success does for our energy level, don't you think? After such a long period of wandering in the desert, hoping and waiting and persisting, and of watching you all try over and over to reach your members of Congress, and coming back to them with everything you could think of, well, isn't it nice to be working with such big smiles on our faces these last few weeks? Okay, so after you write your members of Congress and write your newspapers, sit back and reflect on the journey. And please, please take time to refresh yourselves and then get ready to take it to the next level in 2019. All right, over to you, Mark.
Great, thank you, everybody. So as of 2 hours ago, 1,530 people had contributed $760,456 towards our year-end campaign. So holy cow, that's pretty amazing, right, everybody? That's really something. So 2 weeks ago, we hosted a reception in D.C. for some of the sponsors of the House bill. And some of the sponsors actually were able to come and make some comments about you and the bill. And I wanted to wrap up today's call by just sharing with you some of Representative Delaney of Maryland's comments at that reception.
Yeah. And it's obviously, I don't need to explain to you why this is so important, right? Our prosperity as a nation is at risk, our national security at risk, and obviously the stewardship of our planet makes this really a transformatively important issue that we have to deal with as a nation. What I actually, though, want to do is thank you for all that you have done. By any measure, the Citizens Climate Lobby, in my judgment, has been the most effective and enjoyable group of people that I've dealt with since I've been in the Hill 6 years ago, in terms of what you've been able to accomplish with your effort generally and with this bill in particular. You just exude kind of a positive, hopeful, inspirational approach to advancing important pieces of legislation. Because the fact that you worked so hard to ensure that this bill was bipartisan, the fact that you worked so hard in supporting the members of Congress on both sides of the aisle in terms of making this happen, the fact that you brought such a positive attitude for tackling such an important issue, where it would be very easy to spend a lot of time pointing fingers about what we haven't done, which is significant, and how we'd be in a better position if we would have done something, which is true. But you didn't come to the Hill with that kind of an attitude. You came here wanting results. You're pragmatic idealists. You want us to accomplish big things in climate, and you helped kind of show us the way for how we could get that done. So I'm just incredibly grateful for all the work you have done. And I really do mean this from the bottom of my heart. Your approach to this issue is so admirable. And I think our work on this bill, as Democrats and Republicans, is kind of a story in miniature in terms of what we can really do as a country, right? Because if we actually start thinking about this notion of common purpose again, and how if we actually work together, we can achieve extraordinary things, right? Like we have across this country's kind of magnificent history. There's nothing we can't do. And I think the attitude that you bring to this policy initiative around climate is just so admirable. I'm just so grateful for having this opportunity to work with you. And I look forward to one day where we actually get something like this passed into law, where people see that Democrats and Republicans can in fact work together and accomplish something on a kind of a transformational basis, and do it with good-minded members who really care about getting things done. So I'm just really grateful for you. You created the environment where we could do what we think is work that we're really proud of and work that we know is important. So again, thank you for all you do. Nice to see you.
All right, everybody. Listen, I have two things left to say. Good night and Merry Christmas.
Good night. Bye, everybody.
Good job.